Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the show. Your four-hour afternoon block is underway with Logan, Will, and Pat. We've talked a lot, Will, since Daryl Sutter took over about... Seems like every time you talk about going in a different direction or doing something that is a little bit different than what they have done in recent years, it seems like whether I'm doing overtime or talking to a colleague or even you and I are talking, every time we do it, there seems to be this sense of, well, hold on. They didn't bring Daryl Sutter in to do a rebuild. Daryl Sutter's not here to rebuild, not with Daryl Sutter here, right? And that might be 100% correct. I don't know if it's correct or not, but that's the important thing, is that I don't know, you don't know, we don't know whether or not that's actually the truth, because he has never said anything to suggest that he's not here to do A or B or to go in this direction or that direction. Who's to say he's not here to be part of a process? Yes, he said he wants to win a Stanley Cup, but he didn't say when he wants to win a Stanley Cup. He didn't say when that needs to happen. And, you know, I guess I just would throw this out there, that who says he's not here to look at the long game and he's not here for the long haul? And both you and I believe we're talking about a high-end coach. And so I guess if you are going to go in a different direction and do what you and I both believe needs to happen here, and that's hit the reset button in some form or another, if the guy's on board to do it, would he not be a good guy to do it with? So I guess I've been thinking a lot about that over the last couple of weeks, knowing that this Flames season was going more and more off the rails and it wasn't going to end up in a playoff appearance, so on and so forth. And that's where we're headed right now, my friend. And I guess I just throw that out there rhetorically because we don't know the answer. And it definitely is an assumption when we say things like, well, he's definitely not here to be a part of a rebuild. Because when has he ever said anything that would suggest that's the case?
Yeah, I guess just to play devil's advocate, you made reference to it. I mean, all he has said since being here is competing for a cup, and that all he wants to do is win a Stanley Cup, career coaches, win nothing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So
for sure,
from my read on it, Pat, if I'm reading the tea leaves, I would say that, you know, our speculation and our assumption he's not here for a rebuild is pretty accurate. But that being said, I do think we have to keep that door open because it is just pure speculation, and we've never asked the question to Daryl Sutter, and I don't know what his desire is to perhaps coach past this three-year commitment he's got right now with the Calgary Flames. So I think all that is up in the air. You certainly can't count it out, but I guess just for me, Pat, the reason why I maybe strongly feel like he is not here for a rebuild, and maybe that's not in his interest right now, is because he's talked about it. He didn't need to coach again. He picked two spots. He picked Chicago. He picked Calgary. Whether that's all a smokescreen or that's accurate, that's for you to decide. But that's what he has said publicly. He's also said that didn't get one for the Hotchkiss family, wants to now get one for these current owners of the Calgary Flames. If all he wants to do is win a Stanley Cup for the Calgary Flames. So I would have to think that he's not here for rebuild, but you're absolutely bang on in the fact that we can't just make that no questions asked assumption. We have to wait and see because we don't really know, but just reading the evidence or the tea leaves, it's kind of maybe hard for me to believe that he would be up or signing up for a rebuild.
I guess the only reason I'm with you. I was listening. We were doing the show the day that he was introduced. 100%. He talked about wanting to win a Stanley Cup, and he also reiterated that about a week or so later with that really good answer he gave a few games into his tenure about strictly wanting to win a Stanley Cup. But it's not like he gave a timeline, you know? It's not like he said it needs to happen during these 2 years. I mean, who's to say that if they were to go down the road of hitting the reset button and trying to maybe build a little bit more big picture here to actually get to being at a point where they can be a cup contender year in, year out, and that's the goal, who's to say that if it starts going in that right direction, there wouldn't be an extension and he wouldn't be willing to stay here beyond the two extra years or the two additional years on top of that one? That's kind of more where I'm coming at it from. Never gave us a timeline, you know? It's not like he ever said that, well, I'm here to win a Stanley Cup and it has to happen during this contract and during this time frame or else I'm out. And I'm not saying that your read is wrong or your read on the text line is wrong or any of it's wrong. I guess I'm just opening the door and saying maybe he is here for a little bit more of a longer haul. And to still accomplish that goal, Will, of winning a Stanley Cup, but maybe not winning a Stanley Cup in 2 years because, I don't know, with or without Daryl Sutter, do you realistically believe that's going to happen? I think I know the answer.
Yeah, and I guess for me, it's again, does Daryl Sutter want to coach 6-7 years? Because that's probably how long it's going to take, right? And so, you know, these are all questions, obviously, that only Daryl can answer. But you're right. You can't necessarily slam the door on it. You can't just automatically assume he's not here for one. I don't believe he is. But, and you know, I also believe the Flames are more than 2 years or 3 years away from a Stanley Cup.
So do I.
Maybe that's why I'm a little more stronger in that field. So, yeah, you never really know. But certainly when the two, I believe, if I'm mistaken, please correct me, but I believe the first two words out of his mouth were unfinished business. And that, to me, does not smell like a guy who wants to sign up for 3 or 4 years of building this team back up.
That was my initial read, too. And I've been one of the ones who have said that he's not here for a rebuild. But I'm always trying to check myself these days and not get into the assumption game and only go based on what we know, what I've been told, what we've heard, whether on the record or off the record. And I will say this, and look, I'm not trying to suggest that this will happen, but I don't think it has to take 6 or 7 years to truly do that. I mean, from the time Chicago drafted Jonathan Toews to the time they raised their first Stanley Cup, it was 4 years. And in that time, they had drafted Toews at number 3. They had drafted Kane at number 1. And I'm not trying to say that there are going to be those players in Calgary's future if they draft high, that they will get those type of players. All I'm saying is that it doesn't have to take 7 years or 5+ years to get back to where you want to go. You draft a couple of really important pieces. You make a couple of other really important moves on top of that, like a Marian Hossa acquisition, and you had a couple of other nice pieces there. It can happen quicker than you think if you do it the right way. And that's why, you know, when you say, well, I don't know if he's here for 6 or 7 years. Well, yeah, probably true. But what if it's a 4 or 5 year plan here? And that's more what we're talking about. I do wonder about it. But again, it's very much speculation. The whole thing is very much speculation. I just wanted to bring it up because it's something that's been at the front of my mind over the last week or two.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a fair conversation. I tend to be, you know, a little bit more harder to convince or harder to get over to that side, but I certainly would have an open ear to it. I wouldn't be closed off to it by any means. But again, when a guy talks about unfinished business and winning a Stanley Cup, that's a long way from saying, yeah, okay, I'll sign up for 2 or 3 years. Because you're right, it doesn't have to be 6 or 7, but this thing also is not going to be a quick fix because I don't believe that Calgary has a ton of elite franchise type players that are waiting, and that's no disrespect to the Dubés and the Mangiapanes of the world or even the Valimakis of the world, but those aren't guys that Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. I know that's not what you're saying, Pat, but
no, they need to get a couple of high picks in the next few years.
They would have to restart the whole thing. Absolutely.
And you know, I guess if they were to do that, because you and I are both on the same page, Daryl Sutter or no Daryl Sutter, we are both on the same page that, you know, going in a different direction here and maybe getting away from the trying to stay competitive and trying to build and facilitate this window, we believe the window's closed. I'm not putting words in my mouth, are you? Am I? Well,
the silence would say it all. No, you're not at all.
Okay, just want to make sure. I wasn't sure. I never know if you're muted or if you've cut out on me or what. Yeah, so we both believe that this team needs to hit that reset. And if the coach was on board, let me ask you this. Let's just say for sake of this conversation, he was willing to do that. He was willing to set a culture and maybe start a little bit of a long game conversation, and he's willing to be on board for that. Is this the type of coach that could be right for it? Because I believe he's a high-end coach. I believe he's a culture setter, and I believe he gets the most out of groups. I think he could be a really good fit if they were to go down that road.
Yeah, I do too. I think there's no question that he would be a guy that could fit that mold, especially as you're trying to hit that reset button. Mm-hmm. you know, it all depends on what his desire level is to do that. But yeah, I would say that he's probably the right guy for that. He has that, you know, kind of teacher approach and the guy who kind of sets the high standards. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying previous GMs or coaches had lower standards, but I do think he's a guy, much like we saw with Bill Peters a little bit, that's going to hold you to that higher standard. He might not bench you outright, but certainly going to pull you aside, and maybe your minutes go down over a stretch of 5-6 games by a couple of minutes here and there. But he is a guy to me, Pat, that again, I think this organization has been missing a little bit in terms of that accountability, that standard, and trying to find that consistent basis. And we've, you know, all you got to do is listen to some of Daryl's comments in the last 2-3 weeks of him on the job as head coach. This team's got a lot of work to do. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but this team's got a lot of work to do when it comes to preparing for a full schedule. You've got to have goals and targets. There's a lot of things that he has said to me that, okay, those are some of the things that you want to be instilled with this group, and you want those things to now become a regular kind of occurrence year after year. So, yeah, I do think he would be the appropriate guy if you wanted to go down that road. Again, not sure what the desire is, but I don't think it's crazy to suggest that he'd be the perfect guy for that.
Few texts at 960-960. I love the conversation because, Will, I honestly don't know the answer. I really don't. And I just wanted to bring it up. And I just think it's fascinating to talk about because we are in that very weird spot right now with where the Flames are going into a draft this year. And people want a high draft. A lot of Flames fans want a high draft pick this year. They know their team's not going to the playoffs. They know that this is kind of a lost year. So why not get a top 2 or 3 pick? Why not go and try and get an Owen Power or a Matthew Beniers or whoever you can end up going to get, right? And so I get that, and that's why I think having this conversation is so fun. Later on today, Sam Cosentino is going to join us. His top 32 ranking is out for the coming draft.
He and his mustache or just him?
I'm not sure if he will be rocking the handlebars or not. I'll ask him when he comes on.
We'll definitely have to ask him for sure.
What do we got here on the text line at 960-960? This from Mike, who says, rebuild this sucker and avoid all the current elite teams. Draft well, be patient, and stop paying for expensive UFAs who don't fit. Daryl would be a fine young guns coach. He would definitely set the right culture and not give the keys to the kids. This says, look at the Flames cap situation these next two seasons, especially if they can move Johnny, Monahan, and convince Seattle to take Lucic or Gio. Ton of flexibility there. Add one or two top 5 picks this year and next year, and suddenly Daryl's third year could be exciting. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, look, you have to get very, very lucky, Will, to draft a Taves and a Kane number one and number two, or number three and number one in back-to-back years. Like, I fully realize that.
You read the text of the step-by-step process?
Yeah, draft a true number one center with an incredible
work ethic.
I love the
step two. Arguably the greatest American-born player of all time. Yep.
Step three,
they don't fall out of trees.
Step four, cups. I don't, and he says Kucherov, sign a Kucherov. I don't think they're going to sign Kucherov.
Well, you said Hossa, right? So you'd sign an equivalent, which would be probably Kucherov.
And you'd have to get him to, you'd have to get him to agree to a, what
to leave Tampa for Calgary, Alberta.
And at the time you'd have to agree to a cap circumventing move for sure. Look, I'm not, and please, I know that you love to do this and text line likes to take everything I say literally. But what I'm saying is that if you hit on a couple of drafts, you can be in a much better place in not that long a time. If you don't hit on a couple of drafts, well, then you're kind of in the same situation. And as look, are the Oilers ready to win a Stanley Cup today? No, probably not. But they're going to the playoffs. They're a pretty good team based on having a couple of really good guys. And while McDavid is a generational once every 20 years or once every 10 years type guy, you know, guys like Draisaitl do come along, and Draisaitl's a hell of a player too. Like, so all I'm saying is, from the time Taves and Kane were drafted, it took about 2-3 years for the Blackhawks to return to being good. The first year, they almost made the playoffs. The second year, they went to the Western Conference Final and lost to Detroit. The third year, they won a Stanley Cup. And that is the best case, perfect scenario. I grant you that. But it's just an idea of, If you hit it a couple of times in a draft, if you've got the right coach like Chicago did in Joel Quenneville and you build right around it, it's not like it has to be forever. Anyway, I digress, and it's a fascinating conversation that isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Alongside Will Nault and Logan Gordon, my name is Pat Steinberg. Happy, happy Wednesday. We're underway on your four-hour big show program, live from the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Telecommunications, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Little less big picture now, more in the here and now. Flames look like they're going to continue keeping Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau apart, at least if practice is any indication today. We talked about this yesterday, my friend, and we talked about, you know, whether or not it should happen. You and I were both on the same page that, yeah, you might as well. So today, Monahan between Mangiapane and Dubé, Gaudreau on the left side of Lindholm and Tkachuk. A few different things here. I want to play you this clip from Daryl Sutter from about an hour ago. I asked him about getting Johnny Gaudreau to shoot the puck more, because Daryl had made mention of that on Monday night following the loss to Toronto, and you and I talked a little bit about it yesterday too, about like how do you get Gaudreau, a guy who's got a high shooting percentage, to shoot the puck more when he's a pass-first guy. So that's how I phrased the question to Daryl, but he started there and then expanded a little bit on what he's seeing from Gaudreau. Here's the head coach from today.
I think you can do it several ways. You do it by seeing it, you do it by hearing it, you do it by doing it. And those are the three principles of, doesn't matter if you're a hockey player or what you are, those are the three principles of getting better at something or doing it the right way. And other than not scoring, you know, obviously as much as we'd like, it's a 5-on-5 issue with Johnny. Most of his scoring chances or shots come on the power play. So you need more 5-on-5. And the way the game's played now, those guys, those players like that, they get shut down and taken away, and you got to fight for your ice and you got to go find your ice. That's not something that's necessarily taught off away from the game. That's basically happening during the game, and you have to have the ability to fight through it or sneak through it or get your stick in situations or go to an area where there's a little bit of dirt there and chip one in, those sorts of things.
So I hear that, Will, and he basically said, to paraphrase kind of the second half of that clip, that right now, the league has adjusted to Gaudreau. At least that's how I read it, and maybe you didn't. But that's how I read it, is like, okay, well, the league's adjusted to this guy. Now it's harder for him, and he needs to adjust. And that is something that you and I have been talking about ever since the Colorado series 2 years ago. Like, about 2 years ago is when that series came to an end, and we've been talking about that basically since then. And, you know, I know that Pinder kind of poo-pooed. He's like, that's such a narrative thing. I don't think it's a narrative thing. I really don't. I really do believe, and you've talked about observations you've seen from him, and I just thought it was interesting that Sutter came out and basically said the same thing, that this guy's got to adjust. Teams are playing him differently at 5-on-5. They've gotten used to his tendencies. They know what he's going to do, and it's on him to fight through it. And most star players do go through this. But now we're going on 2 years, Will, of I don't think the adjustment has been permanently made or at this point even close to it, and I don't believe the head coach believes that either.
No, and the one area that I've continued to criticize Johnny Gaudreau or knock Johnny Gaudreau is 5-on-5 play. In the last 2 years, it's been really, really poor. And the production, the numbers would suggest as much. As I've talked about a couple of times already this week and even last week, you look at this as a full 82-game schedule. And yeah, okay, the schedule, he's playing the same teams over and over again. You could say that it's a bunch of playoff series, and maybe that's also working against him. But
and somewhat telling.
Yeah, this would be, you know, back-to-back seasons for Gaudreau in the 50-point range. And that's just not where he has been ever in his career. I know he had the 1 year, his third year, I believe it was, where he had 61 points, only 18 goals. That was the one down year, but bounced back the next year for 84 points. And then, of course, 2 years after that was 99. So, I've been saying this for a while, and this is not to criticize Johnny or be too harsh on him. But, you know, if I was his size, I'd probably be the exact same way. But it's very clear that you get in Gaudreau's face, you don't give him space at all on the ice, and he folds like a cheap tent. And so I don't know if there's any way that that's ever going to change. I don't know if that's You know, again, that's just something that I think is built in when you're that size, and that's not to to knock him, but you know, he is not the world's biggest guy, especially without his hockey gear. And you know, when you're battling in corners with guys that are 6, 7, 8 inches taller than you, that's not an easy task. And I'm not asking Gaudreau to be a guy who digs in corners and wins puck battles. No, that's not going to ever be his game. But you know, again, when you look at the situation, and I can think of a couple of games this year, Pat, you and I have watched almost every game that Gaudreau has played in the NHL from the press box, and I've only seen him get drilled once in his career, and that was against the Detroit Red Wings. Pavel Datsyuk absolutely clobbered
before before this year.
Yeah, at the blue line, and Neil Pionk hit him hard this year along the wall at the Dome, and that was the hardest hit that I think I've seen Gaudreau take since that early part of his career against Datsyuk. And you know, after that game, he really was nowhere to be found. And I know that again, that comes with the territory being that size. But Pat, I truly think that there's a book on Johnny Gaudreau now, and it's on him to fight through it. You've made this point a bunch in the past, and that's every star player has had to fight through things. Because when you're at this level and you've got video and you've got, you know, 8 or 9 coaches on each staff, they're going to have game plans for you know, Johnny Gaudreau, and this is how you do it. And he's not unique. Every star player has to fight through those things. And there's players that are Johnny Gaudreau's size and stature that have been able to fight through it as well. So it's on him. But yeah, I mean, the concerns are definitely loud for me. He goes right with kind of the team for me in terms of since the All-Star break of 2019, he really hasn't been that same player. And I don't know, you know, I think it's on him. And to Daryl's point, it's a bunch of different ways you can go about it and change it. But it's on him to be better and fight through it, Pat. It really is.
And just for a couple of examples, these are the two that I always use when talking about this. You know, Patrick Kane entered the league, and we all know the skill set Patrick Kane possesses. He had 72 and won the Calder in his rookie year, 70, 88, 73, and he dipped to 66. And I've talked to a few people in Chicago that say, you know what, he had to adjust after 3 or 4 seasons in the NHL because teams started to play him differently. Well, he's adjusted. And, you know, he's basically a point per game guy since that time. Alex Ovechkin entered the NHL. 52, 46, 65, 56, 50. And then I 100% believe that teams figured out his MO a little bit, played him a little bit differently, and the greatest goal scorer of all time, he adjusted. And now since that time, after a few years where it dipped, he's gone 51, 53, 50. He's at 49, 51, 48. Like the guy has adjusted. And so I'm not saying Gaudreau's going to. I'm not saying Gaudreau's Kane or Ovechkin. I'm not saying that. But star players have to deal with this stuff, and I think you're bang on. It's something that absolutely he's going to have to continue battling with, and we'll see if he can do it under this head coach between now and the end of the season. But I think it's going to be longer than that if he remains here for the next 82 game season next year. Let's see if that can start to happen, and with the help of Daryl Sutter, that can start to happen. Fascinating stuff. It has been that type of year. I didn't think that with 16 games left on the schedule, we'd already be going big picture conversation, but that is where we are.